141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers agree a fee with Feyenoord for Danilo. Asazi Origide is the latest player to leave Celtic, and St Mirren, Dundee United and St Johnstone are among the teams in League Cup action tonight. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Mark Wilson.
Evening, Andrew. And as usual, there's plenty going on in Scottish football. Viaplay Cup games are also this evening, but the big news to kick us off is obviously Danilo. A fee agreed that we'll see him coming to Ibrox to join the rest of the signings that Michael Beale has captured so far this season. Cifuentes also on the way, we believe, as well. And for Celtic, another couple of signings yesterday to bolster their squad. Brendan Rodgers ticking along quite nicely. He's now had a chance to look at his players in action since I was last here last week. And he'll know what his team's all about. So plenty going on once again in Scottish football.
Yeah, plenty of reports tonight about Danilo. That fee agreed, believed to be £5.2 million initially, could rise to £6 million with add-ons. So it's a big outlay from Rangers.
Well, it certainly is, and they needed something along those lines. When you lose someone like Morelos and you let Colak go, it's an awful lot of goals to be letting go in your team. So there had to be some outlay, and £5 million and that could rise, tells a story. Now it's up to the player to then come and produce the goods along with the others, but it's a big transfer fee. So pressure right away, but Michael Beale obviously believes in this player. He's obviously done his homework, and he's got the board to thank for making that happen.
Well, let's hear from you at home. 0141 951 1025 on the phones, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Rangers fans, what do you make of that news that it looks as if Danilo will be a Rangers player after the fee is agreed? It looks as if it may be next week that it will be officially confirmed by the two clubs, but certainly it is a fee agreed at the moment. £5.2 million could rise to £6 million. Celtic fans, Asazi Origide has left the club. Liam Shaw has also left the club as well. I just wonder what other moves you think Brendan Rodgers needs to make in this transfer window as well. A few other bits and pieces. See that Max Johnson's finally agreed his move to Sturm Graz, has left Motherwell. So it's all happening in the transfer market.
Yeah, well, we like to see our young players stay here and develop. But Max Johnson, he would have looked at some of the other young players who have went further afield and look at how their careers have blossomed. And Max Johnson's the latest one. Wish him all the best. I thought he got given his opportunity and he took it with both hands. Was it the Football Writers Young Player of the Year? Thoroughly deserved that, couple of good goals last season. And I hope he's the next one that, you know, just progresses like Hickey, like Doig, like Lewis Ferguson when they've went and tried things. And it's a brave decision. And all the best to him. I hope he does great.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. I think there is only one place to start, and it is that story coming out of Ibrox. Danilo, Rangers and Feyenoord agreeing a fee, and it is the next part in Michael Beale not only transforming this Rangers team, but more specifically in the final third. You look at the players that Michael Beale has already brought in. Sam Lammers, who Rangers paid a decent fee for. Cyril Dessers, who Rangers paid a decent fee for. Abdallah Sima's come in as well on loan. Rangers' attack is going to look significantly different next season.
Yeah, it's quite obvious where he saw the downside and the side last season. And we chatted about it so often that so much was put on Morelos and Kent's shoulders to perform year after year that very few took up the mantle when those two weren't performing. Michael Beale came in, had a good look at that, and quickly realised that if they weren't going to stay, he certainly needed to transform that front line. Even if they were to stay, he would certainly need reinforcement. So I think a lot of the signings that he's probably brought in so far may have come in if Kent and Morelos had stayed anyway, because he needed help or better up there. But with those two gone, it's a blank canvas, and he's certainly moved quickly, particularly the ones that are in the door right away and took part in the pre-season training camps and have already taken part in the pre-season games. Danilo's the next one. I think it's important getting players in before the season actually kicks off, so they're far down the line with that, and he may take a wee bit of time to get up to speed. But Michael Beale's Rangers fans have got to be happy with how swiftly he's moved to to really bolster that front line.
How much was a refresh needed for Rangers in that area of the pitch? Because there was criticism from Rangers fans about the performances of Alfredo Morelos and Ryan Kent, especially towards the end of last season when their contracts were running down. Do you think Michael Beale maybe took a look at that and thought, you know what, this is a real area that needs a lot of surgery?
Oh, without doubt. I think you'll have to look at the bigger games, Andrew, particularly the ones against Celtic. I mean, we were at Hampden for a couple of them, so we had a great vantage point and seen what that front line actually gave. Other than being in the box and scoring goals, you got to see the full picture. Very little from Morelos. I made my thoughts quite clear. I was surprised that he kept going to Morelos and thinking he would get a different outcome. He kept going to Kent and thinking he would get a different outcome. And it just clearly wasn't there. But when he turned around and looked at his bench, suppose that's where you got to think maybe he was right, because he didn't have much on the bench either. So without doubt, he had to refresh, he had to bolster, he had to, you know, try and upgrade what he had. And time will tell if he's got that. Now, he's certainly, financially, he's certainly outweighed, you know, what looks like a grand plan. But it's up to the players. We only can judge when the season starts. Pre-season friendlies are great, and it gives fans optimism when they come in, they play well for a couple of games, maybe they get a couple of goals. But it's when the season starts, that's all important time to judge. And that's upon us in about, 10 days' time?
0141 951 1025 is the number David in Barrhead has dialed. David, are you happy about that news regarding Danilo?
Yep, I'm thinking I think we've got him and Fuentes, I think, were his kind of main primary targets, and I'm glad to see him in. I mean, he's been scoring goals in the friendlies already before he's come here, and I think looking at him and the kind of feet and the kind of, when you see the kind of balls that Hadji and Raskin have been feeding into players in the last couple of games, he is going to have such fun in front of goal. I think he's going to score. He's going to be a great acquisition. I think he's going to be a fantastic buyer. I think he's going to get a barrel load of goals.
Mark, it's another example of Michael Beale being backed in this window, because I think there were maybe some people that thought Cyril Dessers was going to be the prime target in that striking role. And obviously Michael Beale had flown to Italy to go and speak to him. There was money spent on Sam Lammers as well. Maybe a bit of surprise that on top of that, Danilo is also coming in when Abdallah Sima is there as well. Just as I say, it shows that Michael Beale has certainly been backed by the Rangers board.
Yeah, well, I think it shows he's also got plan A and a plan B. I think Danilo would have been plan A. And maybe a deal like that sometimes takes time to go over the line. In terms of the transfer fee and the take it or leave it offer to Ferner, that sometimes takes a bit of time to force their hand. So the rest were added. I'm not saying they'll be back part players, but I think Danilo is the one that he wanted to lead the line. But like we say, he needed others anyway, because Matondo came in at the tail end of the season, all too little, too late, really. I don't know if he'll have any future. Sakala, well, who knows what you're going to get from him. So it's quite obvious that he needed reinforcement. As soon as you see Cholak going out the door, that opens Cholak and Morelos, that opened the door for a good couple to come in. So there's certainly competition in that final third. Michael Beale needed it. Interesting to see the way they're going to play. I know we've seen glimpses of it in pre-season, and we might see another glimpse of it tomorrow night. But when the real stuff starts, that'll be interesting to see the formation. Will it be a straight out two up top with one behind? Is there going to be any glimpse of any wingers or, you know, any width in the team? Rangers fans will be looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, David, how do you see those pieces fitting together? Because there's not only those four players that have come in this window to consider. There's also, as Mark mentioned, there's Fashion Sakala, there's Rabbi Matondo, there's Kamar Roof as well, who's back fit. How do you see Michael Beale putting that all together?
I think he's also looking at the amount of games he's going to be having this season if he does progress into the Champions League properly. And he knows he's going to need to rotate and play. He's going to need two or three strikers who are going to get him goals. I think, yeah, I wouldn't categorise Sakala or Matondo as strikers, but I think with the three he's brought in, Vesima's alone, and then he's got Kemar Roof, who, if he can stay fit, he'll get goals. But that's the big question mark. I think Beale's had to kind of think of, well, I'll bring in Sima if Roof gets injured, then I've still got three strikers who who will be quality up front, and I think he's, yeah, and I mean, he's brought in some quality creative midfielders as well. Cifuentes, he's supposed to be still alive, sorry, still arriving. And then you've also got one of the great buys he's bought is Liam Balogun coming back. I mean, he was in that defence in the last game and he just looked so, he was brilliant. It's just, I think every, looking at who he's brought in, I think everyone's a good cog in a wheel, and I think they'll all do a great job at Rangers.
Andrew, I think what he's actually gave himself is options. We spoke so often about Celtic last season when the front three weren't doing it. Ange Postecoglou could turn to the bench and bring on three that would be equally as good and can make a real difference in the game. Don't know if Michael Beale had that. Well, he certainly didn't have it because he kept going for Morelos and Kane, and if they didn't do it, then, you know, it was a poorer option that was coming on. With this front line that he's amassing just now, you know, he's got options to change games, or like we've seen now with the increased substitutions, come that 60-minute mark, you bring on another three quality players who can then terrorise a tiring defence.
Can that be a help and a hindrance, maybe having that many players, trying to give them enough game time, trying to keep everyone happy?
Well, it tests your skills and man management, and that's the most one of the most important things about being a manager. It's not just about, you know, picking your 11 nowadays. It's about managing a full squad. Now, David touched on the amount of games that these teams have now. An incredible amount of games. You take into Champions League qualifiers, you take in the League Cup when it comes about, if you drop down Europa League, whatever. So everyone's going to get game time, but it's how you keep your bigger ones happy, your bigger hitters, I mean, who you've spent millions on, who you've maybe sat down and looked in the eye and says, I want you part of my plans. But then 4 weeks down the line, they're getting limited game time. It's about convincing them that they're going to play a big part. That's the hard thing about being a manager. And the higher up the level you go, the harder it gets, because some of these guys will be international players who want to play every week. That's the task Michael Beale has.
David, it looks increasingly more like the deals for Danilo and Cifuentes will get over the line in the next week or so. Are you expecting any more business from Rangers, or are you quite happy with that if that is the end of it?
I think I can be quite happy with the amount he's brought in and where he has strengthened, where he had to strengthen. I think he's brought in quality in every area. He's brought in, as I say, he's brought in Balogun to reinforce the defence after the injury to Liam King, which I think was a great bit of business. He's brought in a half a dozen or so quality midfielders who, as we saw from them in the last couple of games, they are quality players. If you look at Cantwell and Raskin, they've been a revelation since he came to Rangers. And if we're going by that, then the man's got an eye for a football player, and I think he's strengthened in every area that he had to. And I think we can be quietly confident on what he's brought in.
Yeah, I think Rangers' first European game of the season. Yes, they've got the first league game, which is against Kilmarnock on the 5th of August. It's then into the European qualifiers. The first one's either the 8th or 9th of August. There's still a good bit of time before those games. Michael Beale will be happy that, you know, it looks as if he could well have, I think, 9 players potentially, if Danilo and Cifuentes all having already arrived in this window.
Well, look, we only have to look at recent history and see how important it is to get your players in early for Champions League qualifiers. It's always been Celtic. There was struggles before with Brendan Rodgers getting players in to play these qualifiers, to give yourself the best chance of progressing out them and getting in the group stages, rather than the other way about. Getting the group stages, you've got an extra few quid to spend, and then, you know, you try and scramble anybody you can before the transfer window shuts. Michael Beale realise what a big task it is to get into the group stages. I think the Rangers board have looked at it, and the amount of money that's obviously will come to your club if you get in, and they've went for it, they've backed them, and he's obviously identified the players. But once all that's done, Andrew, it's up to the players when they cross the white line to actually do the job.
David, is the next step maybe naturally looking at who could potentially make way and may have to leave the club? Because in terms of numbers, there are a lot of options for Michael Beale there. He may not be able to fit them all in.
Yeah, it depends on how many players are prepared to bide their time and get a shot. It's a kind of, I don't see him going anywhere. Matondo, he hasn't had a run yet. You've got to look at a young boy, Lowry. Is he going to be happy again to be getting pushed further and further down? Bale's supposed to be a great man manager. This is when he proves his worth.
I suppose it's not just about who's willing to bide their time, Mark, but also need to think about wage budgets. And, you know, if you're spending money on players, you then need to recoup some of that in transfer fees as well. So I'm sure there will be work going on in the background. There's certainly been a lot of talk about the likes of Glenn Kamara, certainly.
Without doubt. I mean, I think Michael Beale would have been well aware of that before the end of the season. I'm pretty certain, you know, he would have had a real good look at his squad. He would have known who's leaving. He would have known who's still under contract, who's not part of his plans. And I'm sure negotiations will be taking place. Probably him upstairs with his board and saying, this one's not going to play a part. Can we move to strike some sort of deal? Now, it can sometimes be difficult, Andrew, getting players to shift if they don't want to move. If they're on a tidy sum of money, it can be hard. But that's the, you know, the complicated thing about transfers. You have to balance a squad. Michael Beale's no different.
Well, thank you to David. Let's hear a bit from Stephen Davis, shall we? We've been speaking to him about his recovery from injury. Rangers, of course, aiding him at the moment as he looks to make his comeback to football.
There's a good buzz about the place. Certainly, I think whenever you bring new signings in, they bring their energy to it. I think the squad's shaping up really nicely. There's good competition for places, and we'll be ready for the start of the season. With an knee injury, then there can be ups and downs along the road, and little setbacks can put you back for a week or two. And I've had that there at different points through my rehab so far. So I'm just hoping everything goes smoothly from between now and then, and hopefully we're back in the pitch as soon as possible. Really. And there has been some tough moments throughout that there, but I think the biggest thing is time and trying to be patient, which footballers aren't the best at times, but the rehab's going okay, and although I'm still a little bit away, I just need to continue working.
Yeah, interesting to see what happens with Stephen Davis going forward, because he certainly seems very keen to get back out on the pitch. If he's back in and he's an option available for Rangers, he's going to face a lot of competition, because Rangers have brought in, you know, the likes of Kieran Dowell. José Cifuentes is expected to come in as well.
Yeah, well, for both parties, it's an interesting one. If Michael Beale thinks that he can add something to the squad, he's certainly not going to be a starter. You know, he's a terrific player, been a terrific servant, and I still think he's got something to offer. Whether Michael Beale thinks that, and for Stephen Davis, does he want to stay about? Does he want to get limited game time, maybe a handful of games and substitute appearances? Well, that'll be up to the player. But you can hear the frustration in his voice here. He's been through a long time injured, and Rangers, quite rare, have stuck by him through the summer and taken him in and rehabbed him. So he's maybe got a debt there to pay as well. So it'll be an interesting one. If I was Michael Beale, I think Stephen Davis still got something to offer, even though he is older than me, Andrew. But he certainly can get about the pitch better than I could.
Well, Rangers may have a bit of a clearer idea tonight of who they'll be playing in Champions League qualifying, because the first leg of that Genk against Servette game is tonight, so we'll keep a close eye on that. But you can be up next and get involved, because after the break we'll be taking a look at, of course, the League Cup games that are on tonight, and a closer look at Celtic's transfer situation. Mike Nowrocki expecting that deal to go through for the Polish defender as well. So any thoughts on that, give us a call, 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard is getting bigger and better. Keep listening for details. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Plenty of time for you to get involved. 0141 951 1025. There was today a lot of reflecting on the life of Craig Brown. He had a private funeral for Craig Brown today, and then a public memorial at Ayr Racecourse. A lot of famous faces in Scottish football there to pay tribute and remember Craig Brown.
Yeah, and you wouldn't expect anything less. You know, Craig's such a huge figure in our game here in Scotland. You know, we were chatting about him a couple of weeks ago, you know, what he brought to certainly my time as a Scotland fan, watching those great occasions, the World Cup and the Euros. But you just need to look at some of the names with David Moyes, Alex McLeish, and you know, John Collins, Tosh McKinley, who played under him, who were in attendance today. And a fitting send off, sad occasion, you know, and thoughts to his family, because it's at these moments, you know, in the final moments, that often hit the family the hardest. But he'll be fondly remembered, Craig.
Yeah, fitting send-off indeed for former Scotland manager Craig Brown. We want to hear from you tonight, 01419511025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. The news coming out of Celtic today is that Asazi Origide has officially left the club, not a player that made a huge impact in his time at Celtic, only made one first-team appearance, but Celtic are going to need to make these moves to trim down the squad, because they do have a lot of first team players. Liam Shaw's already gone on loan to Wigan, and Asazi Origide now, and a permanent transfer to Amiens in France.
Yeah, well, when you look at that Celtic squad, you look at it at the end of the last season, you see the celebrations on the pitch and you see some of the players, and you're having to, you know, think to yourself, well, who's that? Who's that again? Because you very rarely see them. So there was a lot of fringe players, a lot of players that wasn't getting any game times, who would desperately want to play. But, you know, you have to be at an incredibly high standard to break into that side. So Brendan Rodgers obviously came in, and as any new manager would have wanted to have a good look at these players in pre-season. And he's obviously judged who's not going to be good enough to fit into his side. So Origide, I mean, one appearance, was it against Betis?
Yeah, I covered that game, and it was just looking at the starting lineup for that game is quite something, because I think Celtic were essentially in third place in the group. It was the final game of the group, so they couldn't finish second, they couldn't finish fourth. It was an experimental lineup from Ange Postecoglou, to say the least. But Scott Bain in goal. The back four was Origide, Nir Beaton, Stephen Welsh, and Liam Scales. A midfield three of James McCarthy, Ismail Assoro, and Liam Shaw. It was Abada and Adam Montgomery on either wing, and Albion Ayeti up top. And it was a 3-2 win against Real Betis.
Was it?
Yeah.
Maybe we should have stuck with that team then. But, I mean, you only have to look at some of those names there.
Still on the books as well, quite a few of them that, you know, Scales. Brendan Rodgers will need to make decisions about. Yeah. Liam Scales, Ismail Assoro's still on the books at Celtic. James McCarthy didn't get much of a look in last season. Albion Ayeti up top, of course, as well.
Of course, so there's a lot there that has to be moved on. These players have had sufficient time at the club to make their mark, and by now you can clearly see that first of all, they're not going to make it into the starting 11, but I don't think they're even going to challenge the bench, really. They might get the occasion where they will be on the bench for a Viaplay Cup game or maybe a Scottish Cup game in the early rounds, but they're clearly not going to cut it. That's where Brendan Rodgers and the staff, the recruitment team or the chief exec or whoever has to move these players on. And the players have to have an appetite to move on as well and play games. So Urigidi's gone, Shaw away on loan as well. Plenty more to follow, I'm sure.
Two signings since you were last on the air, Kwon and Yang, both making the move to Celtic Park. Quite similar in the mould of Marco Tilio and Odin Thiago Holm, and young players at Celtic feel have a lot of potential and will make an impact at the club. What do you make of those two additions?
Well, Yang, a winger, I mean, I just hear Brendan Rodgers saying for a couple of years ago, we've got a million wingers, you know, and that always sits with me when a winger comes in. But obviously with Jota going, I think they needed someone there. Whether is he going to be the one that is a certain starter? Time will tell. Again, we're not quite sure. Kwon, defensive midfielder. Now, if he's going to challenge Callum McGregor, it's going to be a big ask, but I think he'll be a young player that will develop. So, again, time will tell. So, for Celtic fans, I think it's good to see signings coming in. It's sort of the unknown. We don't really know a lot about these players. And people, I'm sure, will come on, or people you'll see in social media saying, oh, well, I watched loads of that league and these guys were standouts. It's a very different environment.
And I think some people also think unknown is a negative when it's not. You look at some of the players that Celtic have signed over the last couple of years that people didn't know in Scotland, the likes of Kyogo and Hatate. Matt O'Reilly was at MK Dons, and they've all done very, very well.
Yep, it could go either way. But I think Celtic fans will certainly be optimistic about these signings rather than be annoyed that they're unknowns because of what's gone on previously. But not everybody will be a Kyogo, not everybody will be a Hatate when they come in, because they were exceptional and have been and continue to be exceptional. Whether Yang and Kwon can be that, who knows? I hope so, because the guys that came in from Japan certainly lit up our league. And the more players that we can get in, the better for the Scottish league.
01419511025 is the number you need. Robbie is a Celtic fan up next in Falkirk. Robbie, how are you tonight?
Good evening, panel. Mark Wilson, you've more or less covered what I was going to make my point on, which was the two Korean, South Korean midfielders that have came in. So I'll just switch my point to the ticketing for the Old Firm game coming up. The Celtic Supporters Association are going to be meeting Michael Nicholson tomorrow and regarding the ticketing situation for Celtic Park and Ibrox. And the first game is at Ibrox, and I'm under the understanding that they're going to demand to Michael Nicholson, and this is in writing anyway, so you can take this as face value, they're going to demand 5%, which I think is about 2,500, which is a European capacity that you know, the European teams have been getting Ibrox. So that's what they're going to demand, that or nothing, and they want their security guaranteed on top of that as well. Now, I understand, if you look at Ibrox right in that corner, it's not very designed very good for away support in that corner. Obviously, you've got the height coming to the left-hand side of the Govan and the right-hand side of the Broom one, and there's been objects getting thrown in there in the past at Celtic supporters. Just the whole design of where they're situated isn't very good. I actually think, see, if they were to stick with the 700, which obviously, as I say, the Celtic Supporters Association are not going for, they actually want the 2,500 or nothing. But I think, see, for the Old Firm games, doesn't matter what the capacity is, if they can get 2,500 into that corner and coming round slightly to the left of the Broom One and at Celtic Park, I think they should put up nets, Mark. Would you think the idea of nets going up? Now, nets are really, really good for objects, you know, coming back and forth, whatever way the objects are going to come, and they're really, really thin. And I think if you can get them going right...
Well, Mark, I'll just put that point to Mark, because allocations is going to be a big thing that I think is going to rumble on this season, because it's not only games between Celtic and Rangers that are looking to be affected now. There's a lot of talk about the likes of Hearts and Aberdeen that are going to cut allocations for away supporters, but it'll be interesting to see it in the coming weeks. Certainly there are a large portion of supporters that enjoy having that big away element, especially at games where there is a big rivalry. How do you view it?
Well, away supporters, and a large number of them, for me, always made the atmosphere inside the ground better as a player taking part in it. Whether that was, you know, Celtic v Rangers at Celtic Park, or visiting Ibrox, or if I went to Pittodrie, even with Dundee United, if we went up to Aberdeen, it always made for a better atmosphere. Now, I can totally understand clubs looking after themselves and looking after their own fan base, but only if they can sell those tickets. Now, of course, it's not a problem for Rangers. Rangers will sell, you know, could sell at the full stadium. We've seen it last season without any Celtic fans in there. Equally similar with Celtic. For away grounds like Tynecastle and Pittodrie...
Well, Kilmarnock have limited crowds for Celtic and Rangers matches, St. and say Mirren, haven't affected them financially whatsoever.
Haven't affected them. Well, that's fine. Of course, they have to look after themselves. St. Mirren are the same.
I suppose in the case of Celtic and Rangers, it's about the two clubs coming to an agreement, and they couldn't come to an agreement last season, and that's why it ended with the last two games having no away supporters, which people say takes away from the spectacle.
Well, it does take away from the spectacle, and there's a number of fans that will come on and say, no, I much prefer it all Rangers fans. I much prefer it all Celtic fans. I think that's nonsense. I think part and parcel of the a lot of football is rivalry, and particularly rivalry on the match day. As long as it's in the right spirit, when your team scores, where do you face? You face the opposition. If you're in that away support, your team scores, no better feeling when you're facing the home crowd, and that's been taken away for your biggest fixture. Now, I think it's time that the grown-ups at each club sit down and speak reasonably about this. I mean, I get Robbie's point there with either side, you know, there's been safety issues at either ground in the past, but how can you guarantee that? Do we want to see nets? Do we want to see cages? No, because I think that's a poor reflection of our game, that fans cannot be trusted to go to a football game without throwing missiles at each other. So as much as taking the fans out the pitch reflects poorly, I think so does netting them in. And it just shows the full world that this is not an environment that you actually want to go and watch football. So I would like it just to go back to the way it was. You know, the Celtic fans had that full stand, and equally when the Rangers fan came, had the majority of that. There was really no safety issues. There was a segregation. But I can never see it going back, because it seems to be no grown-up discussions between the clubs on this.
Yeah, I think there is an issue with season tickets that have been sold in certain areas as well, which means that it's certainly not... I think Rangers have already said that it would be a maximum of 700 for next season for games against Celtic, because essentially they've already sold season tickets for those areas. So it doesn't look as if there's going to be a bigger solution for next season, but it could not buy time going forward when there have been discussions being held.
Yeah, so not next season, of course, but it's not as if we're trying to come up with some sort of miracle solution. How can it get to something that had been done before? People who had season tickets all throughout the season bought those tickets, knowing fine well that they would give up their ticket for the Celtic game and they would get their season ticket at a cut price, and similar at Celtic Park. They knew where they were sitting, they knew where they were getting the season ticket, and they knew they wouldn't be going to two Rangers games when it came about. So that is a solution, but obviously plans need to be put in place way in advance of a season starting. I hope it comes back. I'm not sure it will.
There will be a flip side there, where there will be some supporters that will just prefer having a full home crowd as well, and that's the way they like it. Maybe they don't go to away games, and if it is a rivalry, they'll maybe feel they have an advantage if they've got a full home crowd.
Well, of course, that's anybody's opinion, but I mean, how could you not enjoy the spectacle of a Celtic Rangers Celtic game when you've got the opposition fans in the ground at the same time as you? As I say, when you celebrate a win or a goal, you know, you see the videos, everybody's seen the videos where the crowd will turn round and quite rightly celebrate in the direction of their away support, and vice versa. It makes for a much better atmosphere, it makes for a much better spectacle, and I can guarantee you that every player will think the same, although when the time rolls round and they have to do their pre-match press conferences when it was all Celtic fans and all Rangers fans, they all give it the line, oh, it's great to have our home fans in. Of course, they're going to feed everybody that line. But underneath, everybody prefers playing in an atmosphere where you can feel the tension between both sets of fans.
Thank you to Robbie. I'm sure that one will rumble over the next few weeks and months. Still time for you to get involved, 01419511025. But before the break, let me tell you about this.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Oh, thank you.
Register. Payday payout. Clyde
One. Well, Ryan from Greenock was out walking the dog when he got the cash register call.
Oh my god. Really?
Really?
Oh my god. My partner and my little girl, I'm out of stepdaughter's going to be over the moon. Oh my god, thank you very much.
Well, he reckons he's going to buy a new car because his current one is knackered. But now it's your chance to win £48,181 tomorrow when we make the next call. But you need to be in the draw. And if you're going to win, you get the cash the same day as well. So enter now, text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. If you get a call from us after 3 o'clock tomorrow, answer it within five rings. Make sure you know the correct cash register amount. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entry is £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Hits Radio Network Scotland competition are on our website. So text YES to 61025 for your chance to win £48,181. Good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard is getting bigger and better. Keep listening for details. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson in the studio with me, Andrew McLean. Still time for you to get involved as well. All you need to do is call 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Of course, there are some big Viaplay Cup group stage matches happening tonight. Just seeing some of the team news coming through, looking at the St Mirren team. They are away to Cowdenbeath tonight. There is another start for...
I think that's where I retired myself when I played at Cowdenbeath. Yeah. That was enough for me.
What happened? Was that just...
I know, well...
We
played the game and we were out in the Warrington, and then the stock cars started revving up and going round about us, and I thought, that's enough, I'm out.
So. I suppose it's better than that game down in England where there was a car and a hearse and all sorts
of... See that?
donuts on the pitch at half time. I think the less said about that, the
good luck
the
to
better.
St Mirren players.
Just looking at the St Mirren team, Stav Nachmani, another start for him up top, came off the bench for his debut at the weekend. Young striker, two goals off the bench, not bad at all.
Well, good start to your career, that is. But Stephen Robinson, he's got a big task to follow up what he did last season. So be interesting to see how they tick on. Remember, it was last season where they had an absolute shocker at this stage. In fact, I think I might have tipped them to go down.
Oh, were you one of the ones that tipped them to go down?
You can only tip what happens in pre-season in these games.
Because I interviewed Stephen Robinson towards the end of last season, and he was talking about their motivation for last season, and he was talking quite generally about pundits that had tipped them to go down.
I think there was a couple in here, right enough, so I wasn't alone, but... Sorry, Stephen, we've learned our lesson.
That's the interesting thing about these group stages, though, because they are competitive games, but managers are still trying to get to grips with their squad. They're still trying to bring players in. Some managers find it tough in the transfer market. You look at Stuart Kettlewell at Motherwell, who's still trying to get players in the door. I think he said today he still needs, you know, at least three more to complete his squad, but he's still having to juggle these competitive games and try and get through in a competition that offers you the chance to, you know, win a domestic cup and get to Hampden.
Well, that's it. You know, you need to look at this long term and what comes, you know, later on in the season where you actually get a trip to Hampden out of this. It's hard to see that at the minute for some managers who are going through with threadbare squads, who are negotiating, who maybe sometimes think they're hitting their head against a brick wall trying to get people in. I have every sympathy for them. And it's hard because some managers actually come under pressure at this time of the season. Some with a couple of bad results, then they start the season with a bad result, can lose their job. And, you know, you look at Dundee United, of course, Jim Dinney got off to a good start. Well, a disastrous start. They win on Saturday against Peterhead.
Big game tonight, away to Falkirk.
Big game tonight against Falkirk. That's not going to be easy, but if they get a win, then confidence starts to build. Equally, if they lose, then United fans are again on their back. So these games are critically important to the clubs that are in them just now. And it gets even worse when you go down the divisions. I keep speaking about this every week, but for clubs who are having to put players in trial because they're not quite sure, there's no game time to try these players out. So they often get signed in short-term contracts and pitched into these games. So, you know, if you're going along to these games, you're always in for entertainment, I feel. And we've seen some of them going to penalties so far this season. So it's an interesting format. I think I quite like it. From a neutral sitting here,
I don't know if I'd like it.
Well, I was there as a manager, and I got
okay,
scalped.
That's why you don't like it.
I got scalped. Was it 6-2 with Dundee United, and I had a team full of trialists. Then I went to McDermott Park, and I got a 7-0. So I was thinking this tournament is dreadful. But now
you've taken a step back, and you can watch
it's quite entertaining.
It's amazing how quickly pressure can mount from early season games these days. When you look at the examples from last season, there was Jack Ross, there was Graeme Alexander. They were both involved in European football, so it was a different pressure. But you almost look at the fact that if they weren't involved in those European qualifiers and hadn't taken those beatings, then you know, the pressure might not have mounted on them.
I think you're totally right. Graeme Alexander, the pressure I felt was always building. There was always this, you know, dissent from some of the fans that would call your show towards the tail end of the season. So when he got off to a bad start, then probably the writing was on the wall. Jack Ross was different. You know, he had one of the greatest nights Dundee United's had in Europe for a long time at home, followed by categorically the worst night they've ever had, followed by four results in a row that then just cost him his job. So, you know, it shows what early season form can do to you. It can set you up for the full year, get you brimming full of confidence, your squad, your new signings going in the one direction, or equally, it can ruin you and you can end up at a job as quick as you've been appointed.
Yeah, plenty of games tonight. A few games tomorrow night as well. Dundee against Dumbarton, Ross County away to Edinburgh City, Kilmarnock in action at home against Raith Rovers as well. Some news from Kilmarnock this week is that they have appointed Kyle Vassell as their new club captain. An interesting one because it's clearly, Kyle Vassell's clearly a player that Derek McInnes has a lot of trust in, because he gave him a new contract at a point last season where there was no idea whether Kilmarnock were going to stay up or not. There was a lot of, you know, dubiety about their position in the league and whether they would get relegated or not. But Dennett McInnes was quite happy very early on to say, look, no matter where we are, I need Kyle Vassell on my team.
Yeah, well, Simon from Kilmarnock, a regular caller of the show, me and him had a slight argument at the tail end of last season about Vassell, and my observation was he didn't score enough goals, and Simon was quite clearly right when he said he did a lot of other work for the team, and Derek McInnes has seen the value in that. I think he will come good. The funny thing is, I like Kyle Vassell. I like what he brought to the team. I was just making the observation. He could do with scoring a lot more than he does as a front man. I think that will maybe come, but Derek McInnes has put his faith in him as a leader. And it's always interesting when you see a striker being handed the armband, you know, because it's quite rare. But he's obviously somebody that's a big influence in the dressing room. Derek's put his faith in him.
Well, let's hear a bit from Kyle Vassell, shall we? He says he feels he's a more selfless player, sorry, now that he's captain, has his eyes set on the League Cup trophy as well.
I think this is kind of the first season where I don't really have a goal target. It's much more team-based, and I think that's probably got a bit to do with me, you know, becoming captain. But I'll probably take more enjoyment and seeing other boys do well as well. The most important thing is just winning. Winning becomes a habit. We want to get through top of the group to make the next round as easy as possible, because we want to go the whole way in this competition, and we do believe we can get there. Hopefully we can, you know, go all the way this year.
Yeah, they made the semi-finals last year. Yeah. Kilmarnock ended up getting put out by Celtic. Remember how bad the pitch was at Hampden for those semi-finals? But it shows just how good an opportunity this is for teams to get to Hampden. If you get through that group stage, you're really not far away at all.
It was only a couple of games and you're at Hampden. I think Kilmarnock gave a good account of themselves at Hampden that day. If you remember, early on in the game, they were in numerous times on their right-hand side, Celtic's left-hand side, and probably should have done more, but there are opportunities. Like, Derek McInnes has got a great record in cup competitions. You know, looking back to Aberdeen and then Kilmarnock, getting to the latter stages, he's well aware what it takes at this stage of the season to build momentum, and like Vassell says there, giving yourself the best opportunity to have the easiest game when you come out these group stages. So they're well aware that's all you can ask for at this stage of the season, when you've got a team like Kilmarnock to approach these games in the right manner, get the job done as professional as possible, and move on to the next round.
I mentioned Stuart Kettlewell and Motherwell there. We did touch on it at the top of the show, but Max Johnson's confirmed that he's made the move to Austria. He's joined Sturm Graz. Motherwell will get £300,000 in compensation. I know there are a lot of Motherwell fans that are frustrated that they couldn't tie him down to a longer term contract, because in the second half of last season, after he'd come back from his loan at Cove, he looked absolutely fantastic. But you look at Aaron Hickey and you look at Josh Doig as fullbacks that have gone away.
Yeah,
Lewis Ferguson as well, who's not a fullback, of course, but you know, going away to other leagues and really flourishing. And Max Johnson will have seen that and thought, you know what, I want a piece of that. It's also European football as well with Sturm Graz.
Of course. I thought he was exceptional. He really was a standout young player, and I think he was worthy of his award. Remember the goal he scored in the right-hand channel, the volley into the
real
back.
Real tight angle, yeah.
I mean, a sensational strike, and he added plenty of assists. He deserves his move. I get why Motherwell fans are frustrated, because of course they want to see their best player stay here or sign another contract that can earn you more money. But from a player's point of view, these young players can't turn down offers like Max Johnson will be getting to go away in the continent, play European football and develop as a player in a different environment. And you're right when you highlight some of those names that he'll be looking at, you know, and who's he's been involved with probably, youth level and international football, probably chatted to some of them. And for me, it's the right decision. So I wish him all the best.
Yeah, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on his progress over at Sturm Graz. I think I saw that Dire Mabudi, the Scotland under 21 winger, is moving from Manchester City as well. Looks as if he'll have a move abroad as well. But unfortunately, that is all we've got time for tonight. Thank you very much for listening in at home. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your tweets as well. And to Mark Wilson in the studio, not long left of these summer shows. We're back to the 2-hour shows from next week. That's how close the league season is, just a week and a half away. Of course, plenty of Viaplay Cup action to keep us occupied at the moment. But remember, if you've missed any of the show, you can check out the podcast wherever you get yours. I'll be back tomorrow night in the studio with Kenny Miller. And keep it Clyde One, as Amber's up next with songs from Anne-Marie and Bobby Brown.